Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money? Still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Welcome to Radio Rental.
The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life.
All told by real people.
And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, so TA does call the plays. You know, make no mistake, the coordinators call their plays. But I'd be sitting here lying to you, lying to the fans that and by saying that Mike Tomlin didn't have his paws on that. And the game plan Monday through Friday, the blood and guts of it, the first, second down, third down ideas of, hey, this is what we need to run. And obviously, if you're a coordinator and your boss tells you, hey, okay, I see what you like, but this is what I like. Everybody's going to do what their boss says. If not, you're going to get yourself jobless and finding another job, right? So, yes, does Terrell Austin call the plays? 100%. But does Mike Tomlin have his paws on that blueprint? 100%. And you can take that how you will and take it and word it how you want, but that's just the simplest way I can put it.
So you would say that in those weighty down situations that Mike Tomlin talks about, third down, fourth down, like the money downs in football, if there is a need for a call defensively, he may be nudging Terrell Austin a particular way.
100%.
Braden Faoko with Donnie Football last night. Good get by Donnie. Braden has been outspoken on the Steelers' issues. He is not afraid to put his opinion out there, to put his name on stuff, and now he has jumped live on the radio on this Marconi Award-winning station for his first ever live radio hit.
Is he retired?
He is retired.
Okay, just checking. Yeah, because like, if he's looking to get back in the league, I don't know if saying things that he said would be appropriate.
I agree with that. He mentioned during the interview that he's retired.
Okay.
And he didn't tell us anything that we didn't already think. But this is a guy who was in the defensive meeting rooms, who worked closely with Tomlin and Terrell Austin, not for a long period of time, but for long enough. And he knows how the sausage is made. Mike Tomlin comes up with the game plans. Terrell Austin calls most of the plays. But on weighty downs, red zone, things of that nature, Mike Tomlin is the guy calling the defensive signals. So at the end of the year when they get rid of Terrell Austin and Mike Tomlin comes back, why would anybody expect things to change? It's going to be lather, rinse, repeat again. And it cuts right to what Bruce Arians was saying on the Pat McAfee show the other day. All this getting rid of coordinator stuff, it doesn't amount to a hill of beans. It doesn't mean anything when the head coach is the one who's putting the game plans together. And when things really get down to it, the big plays of a football game, he's the one calling the defense. So I feel pretty awful right now because even though Ray Fittipaldo came on yesterday and said he wouldn't rule out this being Mike Tomlin's last year, Jeff Hathorn came on and said maybe this could be Mike Tomlin's last year. I will never believe that until I see it. And the biggest change I expect this offseason is Terrell Austin going to be shown the door. And unless Art Rooney II says, hey, there's going to be a different way we go about things, I just don't think we're going to see anything different moving into the future, man.
Zero. Zero. I mean, the only way I could see something different if you get that defensive coordinator in here that is of the ilk of Arthur Smith, where they are a former head coach and they kind of have their own ways of doing things, and they, you know, and Art looks at the Steelers being a three-headed monster of a head coach, head coaching eyes, but I don't see that happening at all. I don't. It worked obviously with LeBeau. It worked, you know, with Haley on the offensive side.
Right.
Where Mike Tomlin had to stay out of things, but at this point, Mike Tomlin, we talk about how prideful he is and how he wouldn't run from this situation. Like, he's not going to take another job, or you know, say that he's done being the head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers because he has too much pride. Like, he has too much pride, I think, that at this point that he's going to go out the way he wants to go out, and that's going to be with him making all the decisions. And until that is done, like, that's the way it's going to be with the Pittsburgh Steelers. He is going to make as many decisions as he possibly can in order to go out the way that he wants to go out.
And so we circle back to Art Rooney II. I don't know how he doesn't see it, man. I don't know how he doesn't see it. When you've overhauled the roster as much as you have in the last 5 years, and you overhauled it a ton this offseason, and the results are the same. And there's one guy that's been the constant. Apart from when he looks in the mirror and sees Art Rooney II staring back, Mike Tomlin's the only constant. Cam Hayward, too. Cam Hayward's been here longer than anybody else. Cam Hayward was here when the Steelers were actually winning playoff games. But Mike Tomlin is the only constant. And if this season happened in a vacuum, if this was just a down year where they're 6-6 and still competing for a division championship, because they are, I don't think there's any problems. I think you go, okay, dang, the offseason moves didn't work,
right,
but it's just a continuation. And I think the solution, if Mike Tomlin remains the head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers, is you strip him of some power.
We said it every year.
I know.
We said that last year. We said that the year before. Well, how much more power are they going to strip?
Well, they haven't stripped any. They haven't. He continues to accrue more power.
Do you think he hired Arthur Smith?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I don't think it was his decision to get rid of Matt Canada. He owned it in the press conference. The way I understand it was Art Rooney II told him, hey, you got to make this happen. He's got to be let go. We had talked to Doug Whaley about it the prior week, where he said he had heard that the minority investors mm-hmm. were pissed off, and that they were actually willing to pay out the remainder of his contract just so he wasn't going to be coaching this football team anymore. And then it happened. That's not a coincidence.
Mm-hmm.
That's Art Rooney II pulling the strings there. But I do think Mike Tomlin hired Arthur Smith.
Mm-hmm.
I think he and Art Rooney II were in lockstep with what they were looking for. A guy who had success as a running the ball, hard-nosed offensive coordinator, and they wanted somebody with gravitas, somebody who had been a head coach before in the Todd Haley vein. But Mike Tomlin got to make the hire at the end of the day.
See, I think that that's where we're at. I think you just said it. If we're trying to dissect this
yeah.
thing, I think that they think alike. I think that Art II and Mike Tomlin are in lockstep with everything.
With everything.
And I think that they think the same way. They have the same thought process. They have the same outlook. They have the same vision of how they want to build a team, what type of players they want, how they want to run their offense, how they want to run the defense. And I think it almost doesn't matter if you strip Mike Tomlin of the power, because the power then obviously reverts to Art II, which is the same everything as Mike Tomlin. That's I think, where it's at. I think that's the, not the issue, but that's the circumstance right now, is that they are in so lockstep with everything that it doesn't matter, you know, who's calling the shots or what. They all think the same. At least those two do.
Yeah, Art's got so much faith in Mike Tomlin that they see things exactly the same way. But here's what I would say to that, and I don't think you're wrong. I think you're dead ass on. How do you think the Steelers want to win? Running the ball and stopping the run.
How they've been trying
defense.
To win.
Yeah. They are 28th in the league in rushing offense, and they are 17th in the league in rushing defense, and they just gave up 250 rushing yards to the Buffalo Bills at home. First time they've given up that many rushing yards at home since 1975. So they can be in lockstep. Hey, we're going to run the ball. We're going to play defense. That's how the Pittsburgh Steelers win games. That's how we won with Franco and the Steel Curtain. That's how we won in the 1990s with Blitzberg. That's how we won in the Killer Bees era with Le'Veon Bell. Run the ball, play defense. You're not. You're not. You're one of the worst rushing offenses in the NFL. Aaron Rodgers spoke yesterday. He was asked, boy, they were really selling out to stop the run. Buffalo was. He's like, no, they weren't. They weren't run blitzing or anything like that. Mm-mm. They put an extra hat in the box. Mm-hmm. That's all they did. They put an extra hat in the box. Okay, block it up. You got Spencer Anderson out there. You got Darnell Washington out there. Block the damn thing up. And they couldn't. They can't. You can't run the ball. You try to run the ball. You can't run the ball. You say you're going to stop the run. You can't stop the run. So Tomlin and Rooney look at it the same way. Here's how we're going to win football games. But the things they're supposed to hang their hat on, they're not good at. They're not good, Doran, at the things that they think right. are their strength.
Right.
So I don't know how Art Rooney II can sleep at night when he's thinking about his football team. He got a lot of money. He's a very nice man. I like Art Rooney II. But I don't know how you can be the rough and tumble, hard-nosed, blue-collar, beat-your-ass Pittsburgh Steelers and get punked like you just did at home, get punked like you did in that playoff game, and say, oh, everything's hunky-dory. Let's just keep everything the same. And you mark my words. We've been talking about Mike Tomlin, and we should keep talking about Mike Tomlin. That's one of the biggest national stories going right now is Mike Tomlin and how things have trended with these Pittsburgh Steelers. And if it's a national story about the head coach of the most popular team in town, we're going to continue to beat the proverbial dead horse. But make no mistake about it. Here's my opinion. He's going to be back next year, and they're going to have some slap-ass defensive coordinator, and it's going to look very much the same when they break camp in late July and early August.
Yeah, and same on the offensive side. If Arthur Smith does go somewhere else or they choose to hire a different offensive coordinator, it's going to be the same. It's going to be the same. So,
and that's where it's not just what Faoko said and what we've been discussing, Mike Tomlin's fingerprints all over the defense, where he's legitimately calling plays in the weighty downs. He's doing the same kind of stuff, at least in the game planning sessions, on the offensive side of the ball.
Can tell.
Aaron Rodgers throws the ball over the middle of the field more than anybody has in the last 6 years with the Pittsburgh Steelers, but they don't do it a lot. And when it's Mason Rudolph, they don't do it at all. They didn't do it last year with Russell Wilson, save for one game against Cincinnati. They didn't really do it with Justin Fields, save for one game against the Los Angeles Chargers, because they're terrified of putting the ball in harm's way. Mike Tomlin spoke to Bob Labriola on Steelers.com prior to the game against the Bills. And he said, when you throw it over the middle of the field, you're throwing it into traffic.
Huh.
And when you throw it into traffic, there's inherent risk.
Mm.
He said the quiet part out loud.
Mm.
What we've known for a while.
Why do all these other teams do it?
Because it's really not as risky as he says it is.
It really is not. And you know what? Whenever you kind of shrink down the field and the places you could put the ball on offense, then you get three and outs. It's the same damn thing as putting it at risk and possibly getting a turnover. You're basically turning it over yourself by condensing the field.
When you start adding up three and outs, your defense is going to be on the field too long, and you wind up just cutting your legs out from underneath you. You're 100% right about that. 412-928-9370 is the number to call if you want to chime in on the conversation. That's 412-928-9370. The fan hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. We had Pat Bostic on with us last week, and we were talking about the middle of the field stuff. And he's like, as a quarterback, I want to throw the ball in the middle of the field. Of course I want to throw the ball in the middle of the field. Not only are they not throwing it in the middle of the field, which is a Mike Tomlin staple, they're not throwing the ball down the field either. It depends on where you look, which stat company that you want to use, for lack of a better way of putting it. But I saw Matt Williamson tweet yesterday. They're 0-10 on downfield passes the last month plus. Somebody else tweeted out from an advanced analytics site that they're 0-13 on passes 20 plus yards down the field in the last 5 weeks. and they have three interceptions on such throws, they're not attacking the middle of the field, and they're not attacking down the field. Why do we think the run game's not working? Quite the mystery. 412-928-9370. You can text us, brought to you by Edgar Steiner & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. You can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. We've been very negative this week. That's just the state of the Steelers. Let's be solution-oriented when we come back. How can the Steelers take a step forward offensively? What did Aaron Rodgers have to say about that yesterday? We'll let you hear it, and we'll react.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back, and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vien and Sabrina Deanna Roga, here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House Original.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Some of it is just his play count. That's above my pay grade. You know, the more opportunities that he's gotten in certain games, he's had some big games for us. I felt like after Cincinnati, he was kind of getting going. You know, but Darnell has also been playing exceptionally well, so it's hard to take Darnell off the field. You know, he's been so good, but I'd love to see more opportunities for Pat.
How about that? Rodgers saying it's above his pay grade. That sounds like a guy who wants more Pat Freiermuth, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Get him out there, baby! Meanwhile, the hated Baltimore Ravens, they just paid Mark Andrews 3 years, $39 million. Signed him to a new deal yesterday. You're allowed to do that in season, by the way.
Yeah.
Interesting how that goes. 3 years, $39 million for a focal point of the Ravens offense. Pat Freiermuth's contract, 4 years, $48.4 million. And he just played 13 snaps.
Unbelievable.
That is such a waste, man, for an offense that right now isn't good at a single thing. You've got a $48 million player who's sitting on the bench. And let me tell you this, and you know this, it's not like Pat Freiermuth's in the doghouse because he's out gallivanting through town or doing things off the field that are causing problems. That guy is a consummate professional, a tremendous human being, who this entire time hasn't said one word about his lot in life or how he's been used, anything like that. So something's going on here. We've speculated. I don't know what it is, but they've got a $48 million player sitting on the bench when their pass offense is among the worst in the entire NFL. Make it make sense, man.
Well, if I were to guess, and just for the football part of it, I would guess that you can't take Darnell off the field, and Pat Freiermuth's blocking can't be put into the type of offense that they want to run. And in the running game, I think that they think that he's a liability maybe as a blocker. And Jonnu Smith, as more of a move blocker, may be a better blocker than Pat Freiermuth. So Jonnu Smith is going to be in as the second tight end. If they want to move him around and try to kick out or lead or insert, do things like that, like I think that they probably think that Pat Freiermuth's liability in the blocking game is not worthy of him having, you know, the adequate snaps that we think that he should have. So I think what he does in the passing game isn't worth how much he is a liability, I guess, in the running game, if that makes sense.
I think that's probably the way that they view it. I think you nailed that.
Yeah, like he can't inline block. He can't, you know, he can, but like he's not really good at inline blocking like Darnell is. And on the move, Jonnu Smith may be better as a move tight end. So it's like we're going to go with that personnel with those two on the field more.
And that's fine if that's how they viewed things, but let's turn over that stone now.
Right.
It's time to get Freiermuth on the field for 40 damn snaps and just see what that looks like.
Mm-hmm.
You're going out, you're getting Adam Thielen. You have Marquez Valdes-Scantling on the practice squad. You're throwing old dudes against the wall to see if it sticks, and you're not going to use a guy that you've paid $48 million to just to see if that works. Now, you might be dead ass on, man. That's probably exactly how they view it. Okay, it hasn't worked. So get Freiermuth out there more and just see.
Mm-hmm.
What's the harm in that now? You've got a guy on your roster, not somebody who has to learn the offense, not somebody who has to warm up to it, not somebody who has to jump on a moving train. This guy who's here. And when he's got an opportunity like he did against Cincinnati, he can be a pretty good player. I don't think he's a great player. I don't think he's a game breaker, but he's a serviceable pass catching tight end.
For what you have.
Exactly.
For what you have, like he should be a top option.
He's a better tight end than Calvin Austin is a wide receiver.
Yes.
He's a better tight end than Roman Wilson is a wide receiver. You've got all these tight ends. Jonnu Smith has not affected the game at all. He doesn't keep anybody up at night. He's averaging 6.3 yards a reception. That is laughable. And I bet that among qualified players, that's the lowest yards per reception outside of maybe running backs in the entirety of the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to look that up here in a moment.
Especially tight ends.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
The juice hasn't been worth the squeeze on that guy.
I'd be willing to bet that Pat Freiermuth gets targeted a lot on Sunday, though. Because usually, I mean, we did this in the beginning of the season. Where's Pat Freiermuth? And then whenever we put a magnifying glass on it, it seems like it's like, oh, man, we do need to get Pat going. I bet you they target him a lot on Sunday.
I'm optimistic about that as well because of how Rodgers talked about him yesterday. Like, Rodgers didn't come out and explicitly question the coaching staff, but he did.
Mm-hmm.
It's above my pay grade. I'd love to see him out there more. Wonder who he's talking about. Corey in the car. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. Hey, I just wanted to comment real quick about what you guys have said that Tomlin mentioned about throwing to the middle of the field. And look, I've always been a Tomlin supporter up until the last couple of years or so, as that's gotten whittled away more and more, my faith in Tomlin. When you look at the offensive coordinators we have had, I didn't mind Randy Fichtner as much because it seemed like a sort of natural progression. But then the Matt Canada hiring was a little questionable. I started getting worried. Then when they kept him on for a third season, that's when I started to get mad. Then when we hired Arthur Smith, I was excited because Arthur Smith has a play action, throw down the middle, down the seams kind of scheme that he had in Tennessee with Ryan Tannehill and those guys. And I was excited about this because we would be throwing perhaps down the middle of the field more, and we're not. And so I don't blame Arthur Smith quite as much as maybe other people do. I don't think Tomlin is letting Arthur Smith call the kind of offensive scheme that he would like to have. It sounds to me, Tomlin likes to say we don't live in our fears. That quote that he said on sounds like a man who's living in his fears.
Corey, you're going to love this, and thank you for the call. You're going to love it, and you're going to hate it all at once. I grabbed the conversation Tomlin had with Labriola on Steelers.com, and Labs asked him about throwing to the middle of the field. Here's what Tomlin said. Quote, short throws from an offensive perspective are some positive components of it. Some negative potential components of it is the traffic, because balls can get tipped up and things of that nature. You're doing that at a little bit more risk than you are on the perimeter, but at the same time, you don't have as much flight time for the ball. And so I think those are kind of the critical variables in terms of discussion from an offensive perspective, positively and negatively. Certainly you're put in position to run after in the middle of the field, but it comes at risk because of the traffic. That's the quiet part out loud. That's how he views it. Traffic and risk, he said four times in what was probably a 30-second answer.
I mean, whether it's zone, whether it's man, the traffic kind of alleviates itself by human beings on defense dropping into a zone, which creates lanes. It's like if you want to talk cars and want to talk highway and traffic and stuff, there's lanes. So think about like LA has like 5-6 lanes, and you get over and veer to a different lane. There's an opening, right? Whenever you get to a different lane, there's opening. That's how zone defense is. Like, people drop, and then there's lanes where you can pick them apart. If it's man, then those lanes or those areas become open because guys are running. So yep. The traffic kind of alleviates itself. It looks like traffic at first from pre-snap. Yeah, there's a lot of traffic. Guys are lined up, blah, blah, blah. Guys rotating. But then everything kind of expands.
There doesn't seem to be a lot of traffic in the middle of the field for the Steelers defense.
It's not that hard.
Hal Mumme and Mike Leach, after him, invented and perfected the air raid offense. And they meshed people to death. And they would throw it 60 times a game. And they scored a bajillion points. You think those guys were afraid of throwing the ball in the middle of the field?
No.
No!
It's the NFL, too. Like, I mean, come on.
We're adults here. Start calling offense like adults. And the caller nailed that. And we've talked about that really a ton the last couple of weeks. Arthur Smith's offense was predicated on play-action passes and attacking the middle of the field. I mean, that's the league now. RPOs, play-action passes, middle of the field, get the linebackers to come up, throw the ball over their heads, put them in conflict. That's the modern game. That's the game. That's the college game. That's the pro game. It's harder in a pro because of blockers downfield, things of that nature. But we see RPO stuff all the time in the NFL. We saw it a bunch with the Chicago Bears. They RPO'd the Steelers to death and attacked the middle of the field. That's the modern game. It's free. Play action is free. You don't got to pay extra for it. It's free. It's absurd. It's 6:33. Ooh, we went long there. Time check, Brett. It's time to check out Christmas gift store at Lynch Golf Sales at Pine Creek. I Ron Burgundy. It says time check in parentheses. And that's what I read. What a doofus. The Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. This has really turned into just a venting session, so if you would like to jump in and do the same, you can. The phone lines are popping at 412-928-9370. How about this offseason for the Pittsburgh Steelers? What has worked? What hasn't? We'll get into that as...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Welcome to Radio Rental.
The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life.
All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, you can listen to the Fan Morning Show on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. It's the time of the year everyone's posting those Spotify raps, Dorn. Is it okay that it annoys me? It's blown up the Instagram feed. I'm trying to see scantily clad women in meat videos and comedians doing stand-up. I don't need to see all the Spotify rap stuff.
I don't think I've seen it.
What?
Yeah. Maybe I have. Maybe I just didn't pay attention to it.
Blocked it out.
Yeah.
That being said, if we are one of your top five podcasts on Spotify.
Oh, yeah, I got you.
If we are, feel free to tweet that at us.
Right.
In picture form so we can retweet it into oblivion, get raises, and make our family's Christmas.
Can you tell me more about these raps? Because I haven't heard of them either. But, like, I rap too, so what about?
Not rap like that, Harry.
You mean, like, rap like?
That's just what it's called. I don't know why it's called.
Isn't it like who you've listened to or something?
Correct.
Yeah.
So whatever artists you've listened to most this year,
mm-hmm.
and then whatever podcast you've listened to most this year. But we all like the dopamine rush, so if we're in your top five of podcasts, if you're one of our biggest listeners and you want to take a screen grab and tweet it at us so that we can retweet it, we will do that. We would love to do that. You can also call us at 412-928-9370. We will get into the Steelers offseason, which is looking worse and worse by the day as we move forward. But the phone lines are bumping. Jim in Monroeville's next up. Hi, Jimmy.
Guys, thanks for taking my call this morning. Hey, look, I'm optimistic here, and I'll tell you why. There are six games left. Three of them are against the AFC North. Let's go in there in Baltimore, and let's end the season against Baltimore, sweep them 2-0, beat Cleveland, go 5-1 in the division, win the division, fourth seed in the postseason, and take it from there. I'm not giving up yet because Baltimore hasn't looked very impressive. We got to go on Sunday. We got to take their name. We got to beat them in Baltimore. We got to win those three games. Now hang up and listen to your response.
Wait.
Okay.
If they do that and they lose the first round of playoffs, now what are you thinking? How are you feeling?
Hey, you know what? I've seen it so many times. I just want to win the AFC North. We haven't won the North in how long? So that matters to me as well. And I think if they win the North and get into the postseason, maybe that's enough to win one game in the postseason.
Blech. Thank you, Jim. There's five games left in the regular season, by the way, not six. I think he was Freudian there. I think he was including a playoff game, but knowing that they're going to get blown out. There's only five games left.
So hey. They do all that, and then they lose in the first round. What's the point? That's kind of how we're feeling, too. Like, okay, fine. You go and win this weekend, and you beat, you know, you lose to the Lions as your only loss for the rest of the season. And then you lose in the first round of the playoffs. Like, okay, you just got there a different way.
Correct. And I want them to win. Of course we want them to win. We want them to beat the Ravens on Sunday. Let's say they do. I'm fascinated by what the discourse would be like next week. Like, are all the Steelers fans that are chanting fire Tomlin and are jumping off the Tomlin bandwagon and eviscerating him in a way that we haven't seen really at any point, are they all of a sudden going to go, hey, we're in first place, everything's okay, we've stabilized? I hope they win because I'd love to have those conversations.
I think it would depend on how it looked.
Yeah.
They beat the Ravens and they're thrown over the middle of the field.
Well, I mean,
if they're doing the things that we're calling for and that's how they win, and it's like, oh, you had an epiphany. Now you changed your ways a little bit. It seems like the Steelers changed the ways that, you know, stopped them from doing things early on in the season. If they change their ways and it looks different against the Ravens, you beat the Ravens in Baltimore, I think that people will ease off a little bit.
They'll ease off a little bit. I can't view this situation different until they win a playoff game. Like, they need to, at bare minimum, win a playoff game this year, or else it's just the same thing over and over and over again, and I have zero faith that they're going to do it. I think their ceiling is to make the playoffs and get bounced in round one. That's been the ceiling for how many years? That's the best they can hope for this year, and it would happen at home. And then what do you think the fans are saying? Pat in the car, good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. How you doing?
Great, Pat.
I'm not going to be pessimistic. I'm going to try to avoid it. But if I had to fix one thing, I think the only thing they could do is turn the offense over to Rodgers and Smith, truly. And with the directive, we got to score 30 to 40 a game, even if that means turnovers.
Take some risks.
Mike is so afraid. He coaches not to lose. He is so afraid to lose. He's almost at the point where he would rather lose a game turnover free than win it with the turnover.
Yes.
It's just become so childish and boring and just tired.
You've been saying that, and thank you so much for the call, Pat. You've been saying that. Ben Roethlisberger said it on his podcast. You said it first, then Ben said it. Turn the damn thing over to Rodgers.
Yep. Nothing else is working.
Yep. I'm 1,000% on board with that. And we heard it from Doug Whaley yesterday, too. He was talking more about the defensive side of things, but hey, TJ, if you're supposed to line up here, if you have this responsibility on a given play, no, trust your instincts, go make the play and apologize for it later.
Yeah.
Go out there, do your own thing, make plays. Same thing with Rodgers. Do you think they're going to do that?
Maybe a little bit, but not to the extent that we want them to. Maybe a little bit. I think Rodgers went in there probably Monday and was like, look, this is what we need to do. And I think that there will be parameters around what he says, but I think that they will kind of side to like, all right, we got to figure something out because we got to win this football game.
Yeah.
Keep our hopes alive.
Yeah.
You're almost desperate.
You've lost 5 out of 7 games. You know, Tomlin was asked about the team's identity, and he said, our identity is 6-6, and I don't like it. And we've had guests come on here, oh, Steelers seemingly win one, lose one. No, they don't. They lost 5 out of 7. Like, they are trending. They are a bad team. Like, right now, today, they are a bad football team. So what the hell do you have to lose?
Right.
Like, this playing scared hasn't won you enough football games. You've given up your division lead in, like, record time. Go out there and let the Hall of Fame quarterback do his thing. And if it doesn't work, oh, no, we lost. We've been losing anyway. 412-928-9370. Twitter poll brought to you by P.J. Fitzpatrick, Home Improvement Trust, PJ.com. 50-minute mark on the Fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Route 19 in Peters Township. Pat Bostic going to be joining us at the top of the 7 o'clock hour. Mark Caboli on the Twitter.com asked, a couple weeks from now, the Steelers will name their team MVP. Who is the Steelers team MVP?
Darnell?
I mean, maybe, yeah. It ain't Cam, it ain't TJ. Here are the guys he listed as options. Darnell Washington, Chris Boswell, Jalen Ramsey, Aaron Rodgers. Jalen Ramsey and Aaron Rodgers have played like 6-6 players, where Rodgers was really good, I thought, to start the season and has fallen off. It's not all his fault. The crap around him has obviously hurt. Jalen Ramsey's had good games and bad games. Everybody on this roster has been inconsistent, and you're right about Darnell Washington. He's pretty much been a constant for them.
Okay, you want to know the difference between why it'll be Jalen Ramsey or Aaron Rodgers? Why they're different, and it'll be one of those two, is because they both battled through injuries to get back to play. Like, guys of their ilk, they come in, they're new, they're, you know, big-time players, and Jalen Ramsey, you know, he was supposed to be out for, what, 4 or 5 weeks, and he battles back. You see him in the training room every single second of the day trying to get back on the field, and he does get back on the field and he performs, you know, to a decent level. And then Aaron Rodgers, obviously, with his wrist and everything he's gone through. Guys, take that into account, too.
Absolutely.
Like, I would. Like, that's what I would look at. I mean, if we're just a mediocre team, 6-6, and nobody's doing anything well, I'm looking at that stuff.
I think on every team that's good or pseudo-good, you could every year probably vote for the quarterback.
Yeah.
For me, it would be Rodgers, but that's because there's a lack of good options, and they're only 6-6, in my opinion, because of how he played at the beginning of the year when the defense was really bad, although the defense has been really bad all year.
Yeah.
And Chris Boswell's not having...
He hasn't done anything, really.
He didn't kick a field goal last week.
Right.
They can't even get him in the damn field goal range.
No.
It's definitely not Corliss Waitman.
No.
With all due respect to Corliss. Man, I haven't thought about this at all until I just saw Caboli's tweet, but this is as bleak as it's been. I forget who the MVP was last year. Was it Watt? Boswell?
Real quick, talk about misevaluations of the season. I mean, what about Johnston? You know, taking Corliss Waitman over Johnston.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, did Johnston, he got hurt, right, again? Didn't something happen? Or I don't know. But if you had Johnston right now, he might have been better. Did he get hurt again?
T.J. Watt was the MVP last year, despite not having a sack in the final six games. Do I remember what happened to the other Steelers punter? No, I do not.
What's his name? Cam.
I almost called him Mike Johnson.
So did I.
Former Penguins head coach who used to play music at practice. Minor league head coach. Nice guy, though. Everyone seemingly liked Mike Johnston. Penguins play tonight. Taking on the Tampa Bay Lightning, who are very good again. Go Pens. Yeah, TJ Watt has won the Steelers MVP award, Doran, in 5 out of the last 6 years. In 2022, it was Minka Fitzpatrick. 2018, it was Juju Smith-Schuster. My God. That's when AB lost his mind.
Yep. Boo-boo.
Because Boo-boo Juju fumbled the football against the New Orleans Saints and then was promptly named the Steelers team MVP despite not even being close to the best wide receiver on the football team. That's what sent AB over the edge.
Boo-boo Schuster. Good. Man, that had me laughing.
My buddy... His fantasy football name, I can't say it. It's Doo-Doo Bleep Pooster. Mm. Poopster. Swing and a miss.
Yep.
Coming up next, Mike Tomlin asked about the team identity, and he said their identity is 6-6, and he doesn't like it. What can they hang their hat on? We'll get to that coming up next. Matthew Bostic going to join us. Fan weather is brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back, and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vien and Sabrina Dianaroga, here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crimehouse Original.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.